from Buffalo, the Beefcast, the American original. For over 5 seconds, the angriest minds, some kind of sources, the talkiest talk. And now your hosts, Josh Bunting and Ian Murphy.
Hey, this is Josh from The Beast, talking to Alexander Zaitchik about his new article in Rolling Stone, which is about the paranoid political talk radio host, Alex Jones. Zaitchik is the author of the book Common Nonsense, Glenn Beck and the Triumph of Ignorance. He's also written for The Exile, New Republic, The Nation, Wired, New York Press, Reason, Mother Jones, and many others. He was also a contributor for The Beast. His article about Alex Jones is in the current issue of Rolling Stone, and it's called The Most Paranoid Man in America. Thanks for taking the time to talk.
Great to talk to you, man.
So let's just get this out of the way for people who might not know about him. Who is Alex Jones?
Alex Jones is the most popular purveyor of conspiracy theories in America, and most likely in the history of the country, whether he's the most influential in the world. He's got some competition, but certainly in America, he reaches more people and has turned more people on, so to speak, to 9/11 truth conspiracies, New World Order conspiracies, than just about anyone. And he's become increasingly in sort of mainstream view in the last couple of years, but he's been building up his audience since the mid-90s online, mostly through, and also through documentary films. His listenership now online is in the millions. It actually rivals the audience of just about all the other talk radio hosts combined when you look at his internet numbers.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of what he says is, you know, completely nuts, but do you think there might be some legitimate grievances hidden in there somewhere, or is he just a total?
Yeah. I mean, I think the basis of you know, his worldview is grounded in the acknowledgement that, you know, there are very powerful people and forces and organizations in the world who are about, you know, maximizing their own power and wealth, and you know, he likes to call these people evil, like, you know, tend to avoid that kind of language. But I mean, the fact is, you know, there are people without your best interest in heart, at heart. And, you know, the details of his various conspiracies are, you know, I part ways with him on a lot of those details, but I think the general thrust of, distrust and, skepticism and even in anger, which is another big part of his, you know, worldview and persona, I think is, you know, fully justified. And usually the way I sort of answer that question is I would rather people listen to the Alex Jones show than watch an episode of Jersey Shore.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but like you said, there's a lot of points at which more reasonable people would depart from that kind of thing when he gets into the anti-vaccine stuff and 9/11 truth and things like that. What do you think of those kind of beliefs? What do you think is like the funniest or most outrageous?
Well, I'm not sold on the FEMA camps. I think a lot of the so-called FEMA camps are really immigration detention centers. And I haven't been convinced on that point yet at all. So there's a huge gulf of understanding between myself and Jones on the FEMA camps. And you mentioned vaccines. You know, obviously there are examples in the past of the U.S. government shooting people full of awful stuff just to see what happens. No one would deny that. It's a pretty well-documented history. However, you know, I disagree with him that, you know, common vaccines and fluoridation of the water are part of some mass plan to deaden our immune system and our capacity to think for ourselves.
Sure. Now, obviously, we can't read his mind, but can you speculate a bit on maybe if you think he actually believes all of his rhetoric, or is it maybe some kind of pious fraud or something else?
I went into the story with an open mind on that question. I didn't really know. But after spending about a week with him and observing him pretty closely and spending significant amount of time just sort of talking to him as a person and not just, you know, as a journalist probing his worldview. I'm pretty confident in saying that he's sincere. You know, as you mentioned, I spent some time studying Glenn Beck in the last couple of years, and, you know, that's a figure where it's pretty obvious really quick that this guy's a fraud, and he'll basically say whatever he thinks he has to say to, you know, maximize his audience and grow his business. I didn't get that feeling at all from Jones. And the fact is, if you look at his history, he's never done the easy thing to make more money. I mean, it's always, he's the ultimate sort of DIY icon. I mean, he started doing this stuff in his bedroom, and it's only in the last couple of years that it's really taken off. So he's, you know, he's a kind of an indie icon, is how I look at him. I mean, he was working out of, you know, garages and sending satellite signals to pirate stations. He's sort of like the equivalent of a radio Deemster. So the idea that he was always just looking to build a business and, you know, be a sort of corporate fraud like Beck or some of the other more better-known talk radio hosts, I don't see it. He's, like I say in the piece, I call him shockingly sincere. And it is surprising when you hear people say some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you expect there to be at least a twinkle in the eye, but there's just none of that with Jones. I mean, he really does believe everything he says.
Okay. How did you approach him? Was he, like, hesitant to talk to you?
At first, I actually give him a lot of credit for allowing me to fly down and do the story because I have an association with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Right.
Which has, you know, written critically of Jones in the past and lumps him in with the Patriot Movement and the far right, you know, dangerous figures. And, you know, it's a friendly publication. And he nonetheless allowed me to come down and, you know, gave me a chance to prove that I was, you know, a human being and not just a institutional spy from the other side. But, yeah, he was a little skeptical at first, but to his credit, he talked to me where a lot of more mainline conservative talk radio hosts would have just told me to screw.
So you said you spent about a week with him?
Yeah, something like that. I was down in Austin. Yeah.
Do you ever disappear without explanation?
What's that?
Do you ever disappear without explanation?
He?
Yeah.
Disappear.
Yeah.
Not really. Not really. I mean, he's mostly in the office. He works crazy hours.
All right. In your article, you were saying that, and you were saying earlier that he has kind of an easygoing off-air personality. You know,
yeah.
Once he gets off mic, does it take him time to switch off, or is it like a instantaneous thing?
Well, I mean, you know, some of that comes through during the broadcast. And same thing as off air, once he gets going, I mean, the anger can sort of come back, but when he's not talking about the New World Order, for the most part, he's just a really, surprisingly easygoing guy. And, you know, enjoys just kind of hanging out and, relaxing to the extent that he can as much as anyone. But, you know, I mean, both modes are present in the show and then off air as well.
Yeah, I kind of pictured him like going through various stages of cooling down before he could like interact with people because the way he gets so fired up.
Yeah,
Yeah, so he can laugh and he maybe even has a sense of humor.
He's actually an incredibly funny guy. I mean, that comes through on the show too. I think that's why a lot of people are you know, like the show because he does have a really good sense of humor and he is capable of injecting it even into his dead serious rants. I mean, when he goes off on yuppies and, you know, he sounds like Jello Biafra and it's,
yeah.
You know, you can't help but sort of see the humor in it. And, yeah, I think he's really funny. Again, it's not to say he's making a joke out of his, you know, politics, but, he is able to maintain a sense of humor.
Oh, you also mentioned that some fans, approached him to, you know, say hi and express their admiration. Did any detractors approach him, or was it?
I don't know if he called them detractors, but there was one instance where we were at a restaurant and we were talking. We were at the order, and a couple of people sort of requested to have their table moved a little farther away from us. But no, for the most part, everyone that approached us was, you know, he's huge in Austin. He's a huge figure. Whether people agree with him or not, he's a local celebrity, so people always want to shake his hand. One one instance, this woman came out to take his picture, and there was another local character in the restaurant, this homeless guy who walked around in like a bikini outfit. He's basically in acid casualty since like 1975. He knew Alex from the old Austin community television days, and they were sort of exchanging words, and this woman was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe the two of you are standing next to each other. I have to take a picture of this." It was just like these two Austin giants of sort of subculture.
Yeah, that's cool. Have you gotten any backlash from Jones or his fans? I mean, I thought you were pretty fair in the article, showing, you know, you clearly wanted to understand what's going on about, you know, your subject.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, no, Jones is cool with it. He told me he thought it was the most fair piece that's been done on him, certainly for such a mainstream outlet. As for the fans, they're a little bit less understanding. A lot of them seem very annoyed by the picture, which I didn't draw, and the title, which I didn't really have much to do with, and it didn't seem to really get much beyond that, unfortunately. So I've gotten, quite a bit of email.
Yeah, I noticed in the comments his fans are very thin-skinned. And I also noticed on your own personal website you have is a different title. Is that what you had intended for it to be?
Yeah, that was sort of my working title. That's what I went into it, you know, thinking paranoid has a sort of clinical connotation, which I'm not necessarily comfortable with. But I understand from the point of view of, you know, magazine publishing, you're going to go with some sort of superlative, whatever sort of grabs the attention the fastest.
Finally, what's up for you next? You know, go after cover David Icke? Maybe.
No, I think I'm going to take a little break from mega conspiracies for a while.
Yeah.
And get back into more mundane stuff. Yeah. But yeah, Icke's a fascinating guy. I would definitely not pass up a chance to hang out with him.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All right, well, thanks again for your time, man. That's it for now.
Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Thank you. Next time, we'll have some material from Ian Murphy's trip to Madison.